Saturday morning, Lisa McCormick with you in a few moments though. First though, time for your news on Five Live.
Of the UK
and the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
We're the BBC News at 1 o'clock. This is Jason Kay. A former manager of Fulham's women's football team has told the BBC that the club put measures in place to protect players from the club's then owner, the late billionaire Mohamed Al-Fayed. The club has encouraged anyone affected by abuse during his 16-year ownership of Fulham to go to the police. Our sports correspondent Laura Scott is outside Fulham's Craven Cottage Stadium.
Gota Hoganers, who managed the team from 2001 to 2003, said that members of staff became aware that the late billionaire liked young blonde girls. He said that as a result, players weren't allowed to be left alone with the billionaire who owned the club from 1997 to 2013.
Earlier, lawyers representing former Harrods staff who say they were abused by Mr. Al-Fayed while he owned that luxury department store described him as a sexual predator, a monster enabled by a system that pervaded the store. One barrister, Dean Armstrong, said it was time Harrods took responsibility. The current owners say they're utterly appalled by the allegations. The United Nations has strongly criticised the detonation of Hezbollah's pagers and walkie-talkies in Lebanon this week. More than 30 people were killed and thousands of others were wounded. The UN Human Rights Chief Volker Türk told a meeting of the Security Council the attacks violated international law. A former British ambassador to the United Nations, Sir Mark Lyle Grant, said he didn't think the UN's debate would change much on the ground.
It's something of a dialogue of the deaf, to be honest. You've got Lebanon, Algeria, Iran, Syria, Russia and others sort of focusing on the Israeli use of indiscriminate explosive devices. But on the other hand, you have the United States, the UK, France, others drawing attention to the wider context of Hezbollah having started this conflict after 18 years, acting in support of Hamas rather than on behalf of Lebanon.
A Downing Street source has told BBC News that Sir Keir Starmer, his deputy Angela Rayner and the Chancellor Rachel Reeves won't accept any more donations for clothing. The Prime Minister has been criticised for taking thousands of pounds from a Labour peer for spectacles and work clothes. Jim Pickard from the FT says Labour made the announcement to try to close down reports that Miss Rayner and Miss Reeves had also accepted thousands of pounds worth of clothes.
We first approached Rayner's team at 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. It took 30 hours before finally some Labour people cracked and fessed up. And they only did that after we ran a story saying, questions over these donations, Rayner won't say what they are. And I think they took a look at the FT story and thought, we're going to get subjects to endless questions from the broadcast media.
The actor David Graham, who voiced the chauffeur Parker in the original series of Thunderbirds, has died at the age of 99. He was also the evil Dalek's voice in Doctor Who in the 1960s and more recently could be heard as Grandpa Pig in Peppa Pig. BBC News, 3 minutes past one.
Five Live Premier League Sunday.
Mikel Arteta to Arsenal is confirmed.
We were sad when he leaves. He's above or beyond a good manager.
Arsenal have confirmed the signing of Declan Rice.
Manchester City have agreed a deal to sign Erling Haaland.
Champions again. They've won it 4 years running.
I think Arsenal get even closer again.
Their level is higher and higher.
Five Live Premier League Sunday.
Welcome to you, Manchester City against Arsenal.
Listen, Sunday from 12. On Five Live and BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. Plus, see our privacy notice. bbc.co.uk/5live.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
With Lisa McCormick.
Hello, hello, hello. Saturday morning comes round once again, very quickly, I'm telling you. I'm Lisa McCormick, right with you, of course, right through the night here on Five Live and BBC Local Radio, Radio Scotland, Radio Ulster and Radio Wales as well. Thanks, of course, to Rima, She's been standing in for Stephen Nolan tonight. Honestly, earlier, we had a great conversation in the office. And I could see her edging away from me and I thought, what's going on here? Then I realised, I looked at the clock, we've been talking for so long. She was about to go on air, but she's too nice to say, right, stop it, I've got to go. So thank you, Rima. Thank you for appeasing me as well. You know I love to talk, right? I don't know if you've got that in your time of listening to this programme at all. Anyway, welcome along. It is that time of the night when we throw open the phone lines and you get involved in the programme. If you're a regular, then you know the drill. If you're just finding this for the first time, then let me tell you, we can go down several rabbit holes in this programme. So pick up the phone, get involved. Ollie and Harry are answering your calls tonight. We like to keep them busy. You know this. 08085 909 693 is the number. If you want to get involved with the conversation, you can't call us for whichever reason, then you can text as well, 85058. A couple of things to get us started tonight. Firstly, a news story that's probably caused joy to parents of young kids up and down the country. Fussy eating is down to genetics and not to parenting. I want to know, what's the one food you couldn't stand as a child? Is it still one that you refuse to eat now? Or did you manage to turn it on its head? Also, the Labour Party conference gets underway in Liverpool later. Should be a celebration of the success of the recent general election, right? But it's been a little overshadowed by headlines in recent days. If you could hear one thing from the Labour Party conference this weekend, what is it? Give Keir a steer on the programme this morning. And after a week of misbehaving critters in the news, I want your stories of animals behaving badly. I know you're going to have a story for me on this one. There have been a few this week. Share yours with me. Give me a call, 08085 909 693. You can also WhatsApp me on that number as well. Send me a voice note if you want, 08085 909 693. Or send me a text, 85058. Now, it's 6 minutes past one. I'm sure I wasn't the only parent who turned the radio up a little bit earlier when I heard the news of a study of fussy eaters. Basically, if you missed it, researchers have discovered that children's fussy eating is largely down to genetics rather than parenting choices. Dr. Claire Llewellyn was one of the senior researchers who worked on this study.
We found that individual differences between children, ranging from toddlerhood all the way to early adolescence, in how they respond to the opportunity to try new foods and a range of different foods with textures and flavours, those individual differences have a strong genetic component to them. So the reason why some children are quite finicky with trying certain sorts of foods and new foods and other children are really adventurous and they happily join in with family meals is largely down to genetic differences between children. We studied fussy eating in families of twins in England and Wales, and we measured fussy eating in toddlerhood at 60 months of age, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, and in early adolescence at 12 to 13 years. And we compared how similar identical twins are, who are 100% genetically the same, with non-identical twins who share about 50% of their genes. And what we found was that the identical twins were much more similar at all of the different ages in their tendency to be a bit fussy around food.
See, it was a long old study, right? They followed them for years. So it must be true, okay? I want to know, were you a fussy eater? Are you still a fussy eater? What's the one thing you could never stomach as a child? Do you still refuse to tackle it? And I have got a story for you later on, I'm telling you. 08085 909 693 or drop me a text to 85058. Fussy eater, were you? Are you? Are you still? Have you managed to turn it round? Get in touch. Also, conference season is well and truly underway. This weekend, it's the turn of Labour. Now, this should be a joyous occasion. After all, the party's in government for the first time in 14 years. They won the general election with 147 majority. But the headlines haven't been great, have they? The clothing controversy, the Prime Minister's chief of staff being paid more than he is, the Winter Fuel Alliance discussion. Here's our political correspondent, David Cornick.
Keir Starmer doesn't want to go between now and Tuesday being dogged at every corner around the conference centre by people asking who paid for your suit. Labour are desperately keen to switch the narrative onto what they're doing in government. It is supposed to be their honeymoon period. It's their first conference in government for more than a decade. So it should be a celebration. It should be a party. Mm. But clearly they've had a few controversies with the winter fuel payments. Their strategy of saying things are going to get worse before they get better hasn't gone down terribly well with every MP or party member, and there are other issues that really matter to delegates, like what's happening in the Middle East, the state of the economy, and so on. So not the perfect backdrop, but Keir Starmer trying to throw some of the baggage overboard before they get to Liverpool.
What do you want to hear from the government then over the course of the Labour conference? What would you say if you were in the room right now? Give Keir a steer on the programme, 08085 909 693, or drop me a text to 85058. And it's been a week of animals causing trouble. We had the escaped capybara on the run in West Midlands. Two squirrels caused mayhem on a train in Surrey. And there was a mouse running riot on a plane somewhere over Scandinavia. Those little critters just can't help making headlines.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
The capybara that escaped from a zoo in Shropshire has been captured. Volunteers used a thermal drone and found Cinnamon in a field about 200 metres from her enclosure.
Unfortunately, while the gate was open for a short period of time, he hadn't noticed that Cinnamon was there and she snuck out around the side. So we've reviewed that now, made sure that can never happen again.
A GWR train service from Reading to Gatwick had to be cancelled as two squirrels decided to jump on board.
Alarmed passengers made their way along the train and the train manager locked the rodents in the rear carriage. Staff tried unsuccessfully to shoo the squirrels off the train at Red Hill, but one of them wanted to stay on.
Scandinavian Airlines has said one of its flights had to make an unscheduled landing on Wednesday after a passenger discovered a mouse in her in-flight meal.
When the lady next to me opened her box of delicious food, seemingly, and out jumped a small mouse.
Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys.
Just a few examples there of animals behaving badly this week. So I want your stories as well. Do you have a bad budgie, a wayward kitten, an unruly rabbit? Or maybe you've come across a delinquent animal in the wild. I want to know the trouble it caused you. I want to know how you dealt with it. 08085 909 693. You can also text me as well, 85058. I've shared my unruly animal story with you previously, but I'll share it again tonight because I think it was a good one. 08085 909 693 on the phone, or you can drop me a text to 85058. Now let's go straight to the phones. Chris is in Sunderland. How are you, Chris? Chris, you with me? Where's Chris gone? He hasn't ditched us already, has he? Chris? 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 Okay, well, we'll come back to Chris when we manage to. That's always a danger at this time of the morning. There is a small danger that you might fall asleep while you're waiting for us. 08085 909 693 is the number if you want to get in touch. And you can also text as well, 85058. We're talking fussy eaters, the food that you could never stand, whether you still can't even bear it. We're talking about the Labour Party conference, of course. What's the one thing you would say if you were in that room, if you were in that conference room with Sir Keir Starmer when he makes his big set-piece speech at the end of the conference, what would you say to him? Give Keir a steer. 08085 909 693. Text me on 85058. And your stories of animals behaving badly, I want those. 08085 909 693. Right. No Chris, but we have got Colin in Stockport. Hi, you, Colin.
Hiya.
Are you all right? I'm good. What about you?
Well, I'm just recovering from a dog-sitting week.
Oh, right, OK. Right, tell me more. I mean, what kind of dog was it, first of all?
It's a Dachshund.
Oh,
his name
cute.
Is Bobby.
Yeah, oh.
And his mum had to go to her adoptive dad. This is going to get incredibly complicated again to this, because she's adopted.
We've
and
got
she's
right.
very black.
Right.
And her dad is white.
Right.
And he's racist and, you know, stuff.
Right, OK.
So I looked after him for a week, and even though I love him to bits, my God, I'm going to have to just have a rest for another week or so to recover.
Yeah. It's not for the faint-hearted, Colin, is it? And I always think this, you know, because I've had a puppy and I've had two babies, and I think when my dog was a puppy, that was probably the hardest I've ever had it.
So when the first dog we ever had, me and Jay, my wife, was her grandmother's dog.
Right.
And I'm sure she, her grandma was too old to look after, really. So, so we sort of adopted it. And but I'm sure it was Jane's way of telling me, this is what it's going to be like when we have kids. And she was like, what do you mean? I have to take you for a walk at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I know,
and
I know.
It poos on my next door neighbour's garden, and that's it, I have to pick it up.
I know, you see, it's hard work.
It is
hard work, Colin.
And I thought, now I am, as you might have probably told you before,
yeah.
66, I'm now a grandparent.
Yeah.
I thought I'd get rid of all this stuff, you know. It's an easy life being a, you know, a pensioner.
Yeah.
It's not.
I know.
It's even worse.
I know. But the thing is, you get to hand the kids back. When you're
yes,
a grandparent,
you do. So, that is true. Yeah, you do.
So, and I often
years
think,
ago,
yeah, I often think this with my mum and dad. You know, I'm like, do you know what? No, you can run after them because later on, I'm going to still be running after them, and you're going to be away. So,
yeah, we used to. I used to take the kids around to my dad's on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah,
and because he's a granddad, and he loved having the kids around.
Yeah,
because he used to do all sorts of daft things with them. So I'd have an hour off where I'd just go and watch the football or on the telly or something.
Yeah.
And he'd have just fun, you know, blowing bits of paper off his nose.
Yeah.
And the kids just have a big laugh. Love it. Great, isn't it?
Love it.
And then he'd hand them back and go, right, take them home now.
There you go.
Here you go.
they've had sweets and chocolate, so good luck. That's the other one.
Anyway,
how are you doing? What were we talking about anyway, Colin? I think we digressed there a little bit.
I can talk about it, but anything, basically, cancer, because I've just been through that. Dog sitting, been through that.
Yeah, you have.
Labour conference, I think, was the thing I actually rang about.
Yeah.
But, let's go with advertisers. Because I'm for Liverpool, and as you probably can gather, most people from Liverpool are Labour generally voters, I always have.
Yeah.
And they've got the most disastrous PR staff ever. Every government that ever takes over from a previous Conservative, Labour, whatever they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at stuff. Oh, we've got a huge black hole in our finances. Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say there. So, yeah, thank you for... Yeah.
So, but, you know, to get, you know, free clothing, yeah, of course you're going to, or security for an Arsenal box or whatever he's got.
Yeah.
Just don't need it.
Yeah.
He was not the worst PR team ever.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, I'm sorry, that's too strong a statement. So I'll take it back, but you know. You know, I do think Keir Starmer is a genuinely decent bloke.
Yeah.
But if you have that sort of job with that sort of responsibility,
yeah.
And I used to do a fairly senior job in business.
Yeah.
But nowhere near the level of being Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Gosh, it must be so difficult to manage all that stuff and expect to know everything about everything, which you do, because, you know, journalists like yourself will ring up and say, well, what about the situation in, I don't know, Afghanistan, whatever.
Yeah, and they have to be across that,
Given all the demands.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a tough job.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
and
a job I'd want to be honest.
The PR thing about it is advisor being paid more than him. Obviously, 173,000 quid is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I don't begrudge it either, because I've never done that anywhere near that amount of money.
Yeah.
But to do the level of responsibility you have to do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, you're going to get a phone call. The war's broken out in Afghanistan, and you know, the mobile phones exploding or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to just go, right, okay, I'll deal with that.
Yeah.
And if you've got, like you obviously have, you know, and I had kids and they take a lot of dogs.
Yeah.
And you go, like, oh, my haven't got time for this.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So do you reckon that if you were in the room then at the Labour Party conference, you'd say, sack your PR team, get somebody better?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's their fault, because I've never done that sort of job, so I can't comment as a, you know, just a general member of the public and voter.
I think we can sort of hazard a guess.
It's a PR disaster.
Yeah.
You know? Even though it's nothing serious,
mm-hmm.
it's not like he's spent billions on some, you know, a war in Iraq with, like, Tony Blair did,
mm-hmm.
and don't get me wrong, I don't blame him for that, but it's something and nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, what is important about that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly, it's taken up a lot of headlines. The couple of stories we just mentioned there over the past week. Before that, of course, it was the Winter Fuel Alliance as well. So you'll be hoping that it can be a joyous affair that I guess they were hoping to have this weekend, given the scale of their victory in the general election. Colin, as always, lovely to talk to you.
And you, and can you just stop? You know, stop. Just, you know, get on air more often, because it's once a month that's speak to you.
I know. But, you know, unintentionally, first again tonight, Colin, which is not the first time, so this is good going. Oh, he's gone. Oh, my goodness, he left me high and dry. Colin, thank you so much for your call. 08085 909 693. Or you can text me on 85058. Let's speak to Zoe in Northampton. How are you doing, Zoe?
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm all right. What about yourself?
I'm good. I'm thinking of you with your little ones. So are they fussy eaters yet, or have they not got to that sort of
stage? The 4-year-old is. My 18-month-old will literally eat anything from anybody.
Right,
so that's great.
Yeah.
the 4-year-old. She changes her mind every day. This is the thing. So, like, one day she likes something, and the next she doesn't.
Right. Well, I'll start off with the advice then, and this comes from the mother rather than the nutritionist.
Right.
But I'd say get your kids involved in eating. So, like, when you're shopping, ask them, when you're in front of the vegetables, what would you like to try today or this week? So,
okay.
You know, and then you're making it and doing it for them. But one thing I used to do, now my older two eat, and, you know, they're fine.
Yeah.
My younger one, he had 3 separate bowls. Everything has to be separately, not touching and everything. And so I started putting the vegetables in bowls on the table and then, like, giving them the control that they can control how much that they'll take. And they feel like, big and, I'll have some of that. And then if they didn't, do you see what I mean? That they didn't have to.
Mm.
But, you know, it was kind of a big thing. But one thing I read in a book somewhere, and it wasn't actually when I was doing nutrition, it was a parenting book, and it says that if a child doesn't eat vegetables under the age of 7, so like by the age of 7, a lot of kind of habits get formed. They say a child that hasn't eaten vegetables under the age of 7 would never eat vegetables.
Really?
Mm. Now, I don't know how true that is, kind of thing.
Okay,
but, I mean, my younger son, he's grand now. He's not so fussy now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, he was coming over for dinner, and I just remembered he never liked sweet corn. I used to like mixing sweet corn with tuna, and he was no. So, and I'd made this bolognese, and he said he was on his way over. I said, I've got some. I said, do you want dinner? I said, I put sweet corn in the bolognese. He said, it's all right. I only don't like it when it's mixed with tuna.
And so I'm it wasn't like, the sweet corn that was the problem at all?
No, it was just it being mixed with tuna kind of thing. And he was fine with it in the bolognese, kind of, you know. But I have got a story it goes on about. See, because when I was a child, there wasn't much room. I mean, I'm not saying that children weren't fussy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't any tolerance of it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Very little tolerance. You put up, you shut up, you get eat what you're given, you'll go to bed without your dinner if you're bold, you'll get your whatever you didn't eat from your dinner for breakfast if you didn't finish, you know, that kind of thing. And that's like kind of old fashioned. But so I was having school dinners, okay, and I'll give you a warning, this is not the nicest story.
Right.
But the rule was at school you could leave one thing on your plate. But my mum had rung into the school and said, no, not Zoe, she has to eat it all.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what she had told her, but so it got to the point. Now, I didn't like smash. Like, I like potato, but not the instant smash. They used to scoop it up out of an ice cream scoop. And me and my sister did have a few tricks where, like, we would pass things. I would eat her fish and she would eat my, you know, the lemon meringue pie, which I didn't like, or the pretend stuff that they had at school. But so anyway, it's the end of the thing. And I'll just give you how extreme this is. I'm not eating the mash. The dinner lady has gone home and the headmistress has come through and she's given me the riot act. All of the tables have been cleared away around me. All the kids have gone back to class. I'm sitting there alone and I'm crying into this plate of smash. Oh. And she's saying, you're not going anywhere until you've finished it. Your mother has ordered this. And she went away and came in and checked on me every now. And after about an hour, she had said to me, now, just get on with it. Stop messing around. And I'm literally crying into it. And so I started spooning it into my mouth, reluctantly. Mm. And I would gag. I don't know what it was or what it was about. So it wasn't that I just didn't like it. I literally gagged. Yeah. After a couple of mouthfuls, I brought it back up onto the plate. Oh. She was like, don't try that with me. You're going to eat it. She stood there over me while I had to spoon the food that had just come out of my mouth that I literally just passed back up onto the plate. I had to spoon it in and I could taste the salty tears and the acidic kind of... It went on like for quite a while until she just lost it, and this plate, which was at this point, had tears and puke and still a bit of smash on it. And she took it into the headmistress office. She put it on this filing cabinet and... Yeah, just went nuts at me and said she was going to ring my mum and all of this stuff. It was insane, you know.
That's awful. I would like to think that wouldn't happen nowadays, to be honest.
Yeah, I would like to think so as well. It's a bit like kind of like what I was saying. I don't think people would be made to eat what they didn't eat from the night before for the next meal. And, you know, I don't think we don't put our children to bed without dinner. I certainly never put any of my children to bed as a punishment.
And this is it. So sometimes I threaten it when my 4-year-old won't eat. And I'm like, do you know what? I'm not making you anything else. And then you get the parent guilt, don't you?
Yeah. But I think it's important to address the child and treat him individually. Mm. You know, like I never said to my youngest one, you know, we're like, it's no problem for your brother and sister. You know, like, this is the way we do it. It's like, no, that's him. That's the way he likes it. Yeah. That one's for you. And it is a bit of a problem doing different things for everyone. But again, if you involve them and say, what would you like? Well, this is, you know, Joe's choice tonight. We're having, you know, a broccoli and mange too and baby sweet corn, you know, the little things like that, you know, we're trying different things and then just give them a bit of involvement or whatever.
I think that's great. I mean, I think in some ways I was a bit of an old child in that you've just sort of described a perfect combo for me. I love, see any kind of salad and vegetables when I was a kid, Zoe, I was in my element.
Yeah.
It's all I wanted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like raw carrot, but I don't like cooked carrot.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
I think, and so like I started doing, always when I do vegetables, let the kids have a snack on the raw vegetables. Oh. And you know, like when you do broccoli, you know the big thick stem?
Yes.
If you peel that and slice the stem is so sweet.
Yeah, we do that sometimes, actually. Yeah, we do that at home.
Yeah. I make that as a snack, but make some dips and then give them... vegetables to dip, put in the dips rather than chips or crisps.
You know. is a great idea.
Yeah.
I tell you the one thing though that neither of my children will eat, and this surprises me a little bit. Cucumber.
What's that?
Cucumber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cucumber is just basically water, isn't it?
It's very watery. Yeah.
Neither one of them.
It's one of the things. It seems it's cold to texture.
Yeah.
This is the other thing. Some kids are funny with textures and. What have you, but cucumber keeps it cool, doesn't it? It's always kind of cold to the touch.
But I mean, no biggie, is it?
Like, you can always, I tried disguising vegetables, you know, pureeing stuff.
Oh, yes, I've done that.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, I have. We're into all the tricks. You have to be, Zoe, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah. Oh. But, I mean, like, when it comes to... junk food and stuff like that. It's just loads of salt and sugar. So it's got that kind of, and it's got loads of colour and stuff like that. And so I say, you know, we'll put some sliced carrot into not an empty crisp packet, but you know what I mean? A colourful bowl, you know, make it, you know, give it that kind of snack appeal to it, you know. And it's the same for adults, you know. It's just easier to grab a packet than to peel a carrot or something, but, you know.
I know.
Good for your teeth. Raw vegetables are really good for your teeth as well,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I love raw vegetables. So, but yeah, I still find myself reaching for a bar of chocolate or something. So there you go, Zoe. You can't win them all.
Yeah. Anyway. I've got celiac disease, so I have to be really fussy now just because of my allergies.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
I mean, I guess that forces you to eat better in some way, so.
It does, yeah. I do have to have a good diet, but I'm allergic to eggs as well, so the stuff that they have on the shelf, the free-from stuff, like the cakes and the biscuits, I can't have it because it has egg in, so I have to literally make all of my stuff myself, But my kids can have eggs, you know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, I have to kind of, I think it's fair to treat everyone individually and accept that we all have different tastes, you know. And also we go through phases, you know.
No,
it's nice
true.
To try something and, you know, pick it up and put it down, you know what I mean.
100%. So, as always, lovely talking to you.
And you, I won't keep you. I had a cat that used to like cucumber, but I'll save your animal stories for everyone else.
Love it. Zoe, take care. We'll speak soon, all right?
All right. Yeah, and you, Lisa. Bye.
See ya. Zoe in Northampton there. My mum's favourite caller to the programme. Every time Zoe calls, mum says, oh, I loved Zoe's story. Yeah, my mum listens. There you go. It's 1:30. Let's take a look at the news headlines.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Lost my place. I wasn't sure where I was going. Right, news headlines then. This is what's making the headlines this morning. And a former manager of Fulham's women's football team has told the BBC that the club put measures in place to protect players from the club's then owner, the late billionaire Mohamed Al-Fayed. The club's encouraged anyone affected by abuse during his 16-year ownership of Fulham to go to the police. The United Nations has strongly criticised the detonation of Hezbollah's pagers and walkie-talkies in Lebanon this week. More than 30 people were killed and thousands of others wounded. A Downing Street source has told BBC News that Sir Keir Starmer, his deputy Angela Rayner and the Chancellor Rachel Rees won't be accepting any more donations for clothing. The Prime Minister has been criticised for taking thousands of pounds from a Labour peer for spectacles and work clothes. And the actor David Graham, who voiced the chauffeur Parker in the original series of Thunderbirds, has died at the age of 99. He was also the evil Dalek's voice in Doctor Who in the early 60s and can be heard more recently as Grandpa Pig in Peppa Pig. Well, that's the news headlines. Shabnam Eunice Jewell has the sport.
Defending champions Chelsea kicked off the new Women's Super League season under new manager Sonia Bompastor with a 1-0 win against Aston Villa. Johanna Ritting Kanareed scored the goal. Chelsea are aiming for a sixth WSL title in a row this year, but a first without former boss Emma Hayes. In the Championship, Hull City stunned Stoke 3-1 away to get their first win under manager Tim Walter. Motherwell reached the Scottish League Cup semi-finals for the first time in 6 years after a 2-1 win over Dundee United. Lennon Miller scored a stoppage time penalty for the win. Rugby Union's new Premiership season got underway with Bath avenging their final defeat to Northampton Saints by scoring 5 tries to win 38-16, while Bristol Bears beat Newcastle 24-3. Hull KR finished second in Super League after a 26-16 win over Leeds. Warrington and Lee also finished the campaign with wins. In boxing, Anthony Joshua weighed in heaviest ahead of Saturday night's world title challenge against Daniel Dubois. The two-time unified heavyweight champion tipped the scales at 18 stone, £4 heavier than his opponent who holds the IBF belt. And you can hear the fight on 5 Live and BBC Sounds from 8:30. In golf, England, Matt Baldwin will take a 2-shot lead into the third round of the PGA Championship after equaling the tournament record over the first 2 rounds at Wentworth. He's on 13-under, with Rory McIlroy tied 4th on 9-under. And in Formula One, McLaren's Lando Norris was fastest in second practice at the Singapore Grand Prix, with title rival and championship leader Max Verstappen down in 15th.
You've probably got a list of things your child needs for uni. Pans, cutlery, sheets, duvet, towels. You know. Well, this is a little reminder that they'll also need a TV licence to be covered to watch all the TV channels, live TV on streaming services and BBC iPlayer. On the downside, it's one more thing on your list. On the upside, you can continue to enjoy your favourite shows together on the family group chat. And they won't be bringing it home to be washed either. To find out more, search TV licence uni.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker to play BBC Radio 5 Live.
Lisa McCormick.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Thank you. Thank you for your calls and for your texts so far. It is lovely to have you involved in the programme tonight, because otherwise I would just be talking to myself for 4 hours, so it's all good. There's plenty of things that have got you going. Firstly, a news story that's probably caused joy to parents of young kids up and down the country. Certainly to me, I loved hearing this. Fussy eating is largely down to genetics and not parenting. Fantastic. I want to know, what is the one food you could not stand as a child? What is the one food that you maybe still can't eat? You've just never managed to tackle it. Or is there one that you've managed to turn it around and you actually love now? What is it for you? 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. Graham says, my brother wouldn't eat tomatoes and I wouldn't eat grapefruit. Oh, I love a tomato. Grapefruit, I understand, but I love tomatoes. He says, been vegetarian for 40 years now. So there you go. Thanks for that, Graham. And says, my mum was always trying to get me to eat liver. I hated it. I still do. Oh, not a good one, Anne. And Rab says, fussy eating didn't exist in Northern Ireland 40 years ago. Oh, it did, my friend. It did. I was the worst. I actually wasn't. I loved all the good stuff. But meat, not so much for me. Also, as the Labour Party conference gets underway in Liverpool later, it should be a celebration of the success of the recent general election, right? But it's been a tad overshadowed, I guess, by headlines in recent days. If you could hear one thing from the government over conference weekend, what is it? Give Keir a steer in the programme this morning, 08085 909 693, or text me 85058. And I want to hear about your surprise run-ins with animals. We've had some great examples this week, including this one, when passengers on a Scandinavian Airlines flight from Oslo to Malaga on Wednesday had bigger concerns than just dry chicken or overcooked veg. And that's because a little mouse scurried out of a passenger's in-flight meal, causing the plane to divert and make an emergency landing in Copenhagen. Well, Jarle Borostad was on that plane and he sent us a little video of what happened.
When the lady next to me opened her box of delicious food, seemingly, and out jumped a small mouse. Not mice, yes, it was a small mouse, yes. To be honest, it was very tranquilo situation. People was not stressed at all. It was kind of, should we eat this food or should we just not? But then it kind of creeped up to us, and like, maybe I should took my socks or my jeans so it doesn't crawl up my legs and find its way to secret places you don't want mouse to go. That was kind of my worry, so I did the socks up my jeans and just continue enjoying the flight. That had to take a turn and go back to Copenhagen, so we changed the planes, waited just 2 hours more for the delay to Malaga, but now we're here enjoying the golf, enjoying the cerveza, enjoying the beach, and the mouse probably doesn't enjoy that much.
Oh, he's got a sense of humour, does Jarle. So it's been a week of it, really, hasn't it? We had the mouse on the plane, forcing the plane to be diverted back to Copenhagen. We had the squirrels on the train, forcing the train to be cancelled because they were attacking the passengers and the train operator couldn't control them. And we had the cinnamon, the escaped capybara at Hoo Zoo. So I want your stories of animals behaving badly. I'm sure you've got one. Back in the day, actually it was only a short time ago, the night of the general election, and I was working down in Brighton, covering one of the election counts down there, and, you know, waiting for the big moment, you know, yeah, going to be on the telly, we're going to do this. And then suddenly all of the technology failed and it turned out that a fox had eaten through the cable for the camera. So that just completely scuppered all plans we had in Brighton that night. We did have a spare cable, but it took a while to obviously get to the base of the problem. So I want to know your stories of your animals behaving badly. I know you're going to have one for me. 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. Right, let's go back to the phones. Neil's in Eastbourne. Hiya, Neil. How you doing?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, actually. I'm good. Do you know what? I've got the atmospheric lighting on tonight, so I'm really enjoying this. It's like properly at night radio. It's great.
Sounds interesting.
Right.
Atmospheric.
Yeah. The lights are turned on. I've got like nice little low level lighting on. Honestly, it's just changed the whole atmosphere. It's amazing.
Before we get to the serious matters, yes. You should try and get Samuel L. Jackson on the phone and talk about snakes on a plane.
I mean, that would be brilliant.
I'm no fussy eater whatsoever, what we're talking about. I could drink olive oil.
Right.
But I'm not fond of olives.
Mm.
And I'm not a fussy eater whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could drown olive oil. But we will get to the serious point about a produce that is called Marmite.
Oh, okay. So where do you stand on the love-hate?
Oh, I hate the stuff. Oh, really? Hate the stuff.
Right.
My late uncle, when he was given it to him by my granny, his mother, he hated it so much that he wouldn't eat anything of a brown colour, including chocolate, anything.
Really?
Yeah. And it's kind of a family, you know, story.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was being fussy, but it was just I hated it so much that he wouldn't eat it. But I do think the love it or hate it advertising campaign that Marmite put on was absolute genius. Because anyone who says that they're, I'm not, you know, it's okay, they're lying.
See, I'm going to be controversial here. I'm going to be controversial. I don't mind it. I genuinely mind it.
No. That means you like it. You love it.
No, but I'd never choose it. I'd never go out of my way and buy it. But if somebody gave me toast with some Marmite on it, I'd eat it, you know?
Yeah, that means you love it.
No, it doesn't. I don't love it. I've never bought a jar of it in my life.
You're sitting on the fence here, Lisa. You're sitting on the fence. You're not. It's either a love it or hate. You should do a poll with the team there.
Yeah, right.
And everyone who's ringing into the show.
Yeah. So and far, we're just gonna do a very quick straw poll with the two people sitting opposite me. I've got Chris and I've got Matt. Love it or hate it? Love it. Okay, love it or hate it? Two love it. You genuinely love it, but you hate Vegemite, right? Okay. Okay, Matt and Chris both love it. So maybe I am a complete anomaly here, Neil. I don't know.
What foods are you picky about?
Do you know what? And this is really bad. I'm really, really picky with meat. Ridiculously picky. I know. To the point where sometimes I even order vegetarian dishes out and about because I'm worried that I'm not going to like it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I tell you what was funny on today's or yesterday's Pointless.
Yeah.
There was one of the contestants there who said she's a vegetarian, but she doesn't like vegetables.
Okay. I mean, that would somewhat limit your choices.
Which is really funny. But essentially, she just eats pasta.
Oh.
And it was really funny. I thought, hang about.
Oh my
that
God.
Doesn't really work.
No, not really. I mean, I love veggies, so I probably, but I couldn't be a vegetarian. Cause, like, I love a good steak. I do love meat, but I'm just really fussy about it, you know?
In what respect?
So I don't like, for example, chicken, right? Love a chicken breast, love, you know, chicken. If somebody has deboned it for me, I love it, but don't give me, like, chicken on a bone. Mm-mm, not for me.
Oh, so you're that sort, are you? You don't like so you wouldn't like a steak on the bone?
No. Never go for a steak on the bone. And I appreciate it's probably the best steak, but no, not for me.
But it's so nice when it's on the bone.
I know,
you get all the juiciness from it.
Sometimes I look at ribs and I think they look lovely, but not for me, can't do it. Bone.
Oh, ribs are my favourite.
Really? They do see why. They do look amazing, but can't do it.
It's not the look, it's the taste.
Yeah, no, I know, and I'm sure they taste amazing as well, but just the whole idea of the bone and eating around the bone, no, can't do it.
And it's the messiness as well.
They are messy.
That's part of the fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's definitely part of the fun.
Definitely, definitely.
No, I think that might be a thing about the fussiness as well. I can't see it being a genetic thing in our family.
Do you reckon?
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because we're rather unfussy when it comes to food. Yeah. My mum says, oh, it's just a bit of grub. Mm-hmm. Get on with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, this
you
is
like
it.
What you like.
Exactly. This is it. This is it.
Yeah. Do your children not like meat on the bone?
No, do you know what? My 18-month-old would eat anything you give her, like literally, and she'll eat it off your plate and everybody else's plate, and she she will just eat all day. My 4-year-old, yeah, I don't think she would eat it on the bone. I don't think, have we given her some? No, we haven't actually given her some on the bone. Be interesting to know, actually.
Yeah.
She can be a little bit, she can be a little bit fussy though, to be honest. So.
There's something to research.
I know.
And
I know.
Discuss next week.
Yeah, well, I will try. I will try this week. And I will report back. How's that?
Indeed, indeed. Anyway, I won't keep you anymore, but good to speak to you,
yeah,
as
you
always.
Too.
And my best wishes to you and the team.
See you, indeed. You take care. We'll speak again soon, all right? See ya.
Take care. Cheerio.
Nearly Eastbourne there, always welcome addition to the programme, as are you. Maybe it's that you've never called before, maybe it's the first time you've tuned in and you're thinking, what is happening, what are they talking about? All sorts in the programme tonight. I want your stories of your naughty animals. I want to know what food you hated as a child and do you still not eat it? And I want to know if you were in a room at the Conservative Party conference, sorry, the Labour Party conference this weekend. It's 14 years they were in power, so, you know, a momentary slip. It's a Labour Party conference this weekend. If you could hear one thing from the government, if you could give Keir a steer, what would it be this weekend? Get in touch. Justin reads the numbers for us. Oh, well, he would if I kind of like had pressed the button properly. Let's do it again.
If you want to text, you can text now on 850-58 or you can call on 08085-909-693.
There you go. That's how you get in touch. That's Justin in Wiltshire, friend of the programme. Let's speak to, who have we got? We've got Edward in Derbyshire. Hi, Edward.
Hello. How are we doing?
I'm good, Edward. Have we spoken before?
Oh, I think we may have done.
Right, okay, yeah. I was trying to think, it was like, I do recognise the name, but I can't quite place it. But anyway, let's talk
I
on.
I live in Hope, don't you remember? No, we all.
Absolutely. I'm reaching that age now, Edward, where just some things go out the back of the head, you know. But anyway, that's
yeah,
another story.
Me too.
Yeah. We all get there eventually.
Can I just start, before we do anything else, by saying how sad I was today to hear of the death of David Graham, the voice of Parker, because I grew up with Thunderbirds and it was my first love.
Oh.
And they showed them in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Did you know that? First two episodes in 1965, Granada showed them in the wrong order.
Really?
Because the first Thunderbirds episode should be the one where they introduce all the characters, which is the Fire Flash episode.
Yeah.
And they did Pit of Peril because we wrote to them, me and my gran, because I used to watch it at my gran's on a Wednesday at 5:15. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this to you before.
I think you have, actually.
I used to span the ITN News in those days. So you had part one of Thunderbirds at 5:15 in black and white, filmed in video colour, spelt wrong, because American market started colouring in 1947. So Gerry Anderson was quite clever. He used the word vidicolour, C-O-L-O-R.
Yeah.
But it colour, as we all know, in England is spelt C-O-L-O-U-R, and the programme was made in England by ITC in association with ATV.
Yeah.
And when ATV went colour, it said in colour. Do you remember those three circles?
Yeah.
You say in colour.
Yeah.
Spelled correctly with a U.
we have spoken before, Edward, you're quite right.
And his voice, amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, milady. Yeah. Fantastic.
I didn't realise, because obviously, you know, I've gone through the whole Peppa Pig thing with the children as much as I'd like to know.
I didn't realise it was Peppa Pig's granddad or whatever. Yeah.
Nor did I. I mean, what a fantastic career spanning.
It's just, his range was amazing.
Unbelievable.
And I think he did other character parts in other Gerry Anderson productions.
Yeah.
I think he was in Stingray and Fireball XL5 and Supercar. Do you remember that? In black and white.
Yeah, well, I don't remember it, but I'm familiar with it. Yeah,
I do. 1962. ITC production in association with ATV.
You've got some memory, Edward.
I have. I have
you
a
do?
Brilliant memory.
You
to
really
tell
do?
It. Lou Grade. And I think before that, there was Four Feather Falls in black and white.
Wow. There you go. There you go.
There is one episode of 5XL5 that's made in colour, and it's great. You can see the chin hair. So why can't they do that with all of them? It'd be fantastic. Get a new lease of life there, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Lisa.
Absolutely.
A new lease of life, Lisa. Yeah.
Anyway, that aside, I
mainly come on tonight to talk about Sir Keir Starmer.
Yeah, what do you
think? And how disappointed I am in the Labour Party. Because none of what they've done in the first 2-3 weeks in power was included in manifesto, was it?
Yeah.
Why didn't they tell us that they were going to scrap the winter fuel allowance 2 months before I get it? First one, worked all those years, and now don't get me winter fuel allowance. And to add insult to injury, he's adjusted cap so fuel prices go up. And why are we paying so much standing charge? It's because 25% of our standing charge is to cover the companies who've gone bust. And that was the Conservative Party by having loads of companies. Why didn't we just stick with the original? Yeah, okay, Mrs. Thatcher, all those people got shares and stuff and made a fortune. But that's not helping today's generation, is it? No.
Yeah. So, you know, do you mind me asking, I mean, have you ever been a Labour supporter or...?
No, I haven't, actually.
Right.
First time I've voted Labour in years, and we've had a Labour MP for the first time in 106 years.
Really?
So that's crazy, isn't it? Because the Labour Party didn't exist in this town all those years ago.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And why are we building this blooming high-speed train? I was telling your researcher, is it Ollie?
Yes, Ollie, yes. Or, yes, good Ollie.
Ollie and Harry. Mm-hmm. I was telling them that the trains now don't even fit under the blooming tunnels. Well, couldn't they bloody measure them and the bridges before we started? That's fundamental.
Yeah.
And the government are to blame for that. If they can't design a train that fits under today's bridges, we have to spend another £100 million.
Oh, we lost you, Edward. Have we lost you? Okay, we've lost Edward, but I think we kind of got the point of, like, Edward was not a fan of the Tories or Labour, and I didn't quite get to what Edward would say to Sir Keir Starmer if he was in the room at the Labour Party conference this weekend. That's what I'm asking you tonight. Would you, if you were to give Keir a steer on this... Oh, there we go, Edward, you're with us.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. What I was going to say
is that it takes 1 hour 42 minutes today to get to London Euston from the northwest. After HS2 train is built, it'd be 2 hours 53 because it only goes as far as Old Oak Common. And they've wasted all that money purchasing houses from Birmingham to Manchester, Manchester to Leeds. They've split farms up so cows have to go 2 hours to get from one field to the other. What is the point when it's that much slower?
Yeah, I mean,
how can you call something high speed if it's slower?
Yeah. That's a whole other conversation, and obviously, you know, for the past 14 years, we've had the Conservative. No, it's fine. We've had the Conservative government for the last 14 years, obviously.
Who proposed high speed train in first place? Lord Adonis, and which party was he in? Labour.
Right.
Yeah.
If you could hear one thing this weekend at the Labour Party conference, if the Prime Minister could say one thing, what would it be? What would make you sit up?
HS2 and stop wasting a pile of money. Give it to the health service. Give it to the fire service. Give it to the police and help the poor of this country. Don't, Liz Truss, reduce the rate for rich. Put up rate for poor and store energy in containers so that when it's cheap, you can buy it and then we can give it ourselves instead of paying E.ON, EDF and Scottish Spanish Power a load of money because they don't charge their customers anything like what we charge ours. And if you're going to have a GB energy, make it produce energy.
That sounds fair enough to me, Edwards. Thank you.
Fair enough to me too. Why don't they do it? And why don't they stop battling the opposition and let both parties work together to help this bloody country get back on its feet?
Edward, lovely to have you on the programme, as always. Thank you. Right, Edward, take care. Edward in Derbyshire there. That's what he would say at the Labour Party conference this weekend. If he was in the room when the Prime Minister was making his speech, what is it you would say?
If you want to text, you can text now on 85058 or you can call on 08085 909 693.
I just like getting a break sometimes and let Justin read the numbers. Right, we're talking about the food you hated as a child as well. Zoe in Northampton called. She said she still has a hatred of carrots, but only if they're cooked. I think Zoe might actually have an ally on this. Well, let's speak to Jay in Essex.
Hi there.
Hey, Jay, how are you doing?
Not bad, thank you very much. Yeah. I've never listened to this programme before. I'm usually watching the TV, but I'd recorded the gardening question time on earlier today.
Yeah.
So I was listening to that and just happened to go over to the Channel 5 after.
Welcome along. Welcome to the programme. It's lovely to have you with
us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think I should probably be listening to it more. But I'll have to get one of the grandchildren to put it on my phone.
Good.
Because I would be able to do it.
Yeah. No, do that. Do that. Because I mean, it's, I mean, I could spend all night selling the show to you because I love it. But anyway, you tell me, it's all about you. You tell me your story, Jay.
Okay. So I, just over, well, before I was five, I started school in a school at, in Portobello Road.
Yeah.
And when you, whatever you picked, whether it was a salad or a meal, you had to eat every single bit of it.
Oh.
Well, I liked a salad, but I couldn't stand the coleslaw. And I still, in fact, today I went into a little cafe and had jacket potato with prawns.
Yeah.
And I said, because at the, now at my age now, I can't take salad much. But I do like tomatoes.
Yeah.
So I just said, could I just have some tomato on the side, please? Nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
I got coleslaw, grated carrots, grated onions. And I said, I'm sorry, I did ask just for tomato.
I just want my tomato.
Yeah, I'm growing them at the moment and they're coming along.
Brilliant. Oh, nice.
I took some with me to give to some friends because I've got a glut and they were still in my car when I got home.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so this one particular teacher I can remember, she used to have a bun on the top of her head.
Yeah.
She wore glasses and she looked a bit like a witch at 4 years old or under five.
Yeah.
So she said, you chose it, you eat it. So like one of your other listeners, I was nearly sick because I had to eat it.
Oh, goodness.
So, but as I say, anything with vinegar, I can't stand.
Yeah.
The only thing, as far as I'm concerned, vinegar is good for is getting rid of the weeds in the garden.
Oh, does that work?
Well, I've got block paving on a drive at the side of the house, round on the patio and up the end of the garden.
Yeah.
I have spent so much money on all different things.
Yeah.
But someone advised me to use, first of all, salt, vinegar, and washing up liquid.
Right.
And I had, one of my grandsons was out of work for a few weeks earlier in the summer. So the pair of us were trying to get the gardens sorted.
Yeah.
I have anxiety problems, so sometimes I have a job to do the things that I used to like. My husband and I used to enjoy the garden. My husband wasn't a gardener unless it was a bit of sort of landscaping.
Yeah.
But I now find a garden can be a bit of a chore.
Yes, yeah.
But as I say, the grandson was over, he was out of work, so he was doing some of the hard stuff that I'm not able to do anymore.
Yeah.
And between us, we got rid of all the weeds in between all these block paved, the bricks.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I had the money, I would have it all single in resin.
Yeah.
So that I'll have to win the pools for that.
It's expensive, I know, and I would do the very same thing, but it is a lot of money. Yeah.
It always looks so fresh.
I know. But did you manage to kill the weeds then?
We did. Wow. I mean, we killed the wheat. I killed the wheat with the vinegar and the other concoction.
Yeah.
But my grandson had to get all the weeds out from all the bricks.
Yeah.
But now it's all clear.
Brilliant.
I bought some stuff to put on. I put it on all hard surfaces in the garden,
yeah,
including my solar system, because every time it rains, it cleans the algae off.
Wow, goodness, there you go. Well, you've taught me something tonight, Jay.
Yeah, well, I got my son to order me two gallon containers of vinegar, so that through the next few years, probably it will last me if I keep them down.
Yeah,
I can just spray these weeds as they start coming through, and any grass that I don't want in certain places. And it kills it within a few days.
I'm going to try that because I have terrible, terrible problems. I've tried a few things, nothing's worked. So,
yeah, well, I mean, as I say, I've lived in this house for quite a few years now. And trying to deal with that has been my biggest bane. It really has. I have sweated blood, sweat and tears over the years. But the other thing is, as I say, the cooked carrots. When I was younger, sometimes on a Sunday, my mum would.
Do you know what? It's going to talk over you in a second, Jay. But it's been so lovely to talk to you. No cooked carrots, yes to raw carrots. I'm on that side of things.
The voice of the UK
and the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
We're the BBC News at 2 o'clock. This is Jason Kay. The lawyers representing some of the women who've accused Mohamed Al-Fayed, the former Harrods owner, of rape and sexual assault, have laid out shocking details of the case. At a news conference, they described how Mr. Al-Fayed, who died last year, had set up a system in which young women were recruited. Dean Armstrong, KC, is one of the barristers representing the alleged victims.
Mohamed Al-Fayed was a monster. He was a monster. But he was a monster enabled by a system that pervaded Harrods. I have many years of practice, and I have never seen a case as horrific as this.
The United Nations has strongly criticised the detonation of handheld communication devices used by Hezbollah members in Lebanon this week, saying the attack could constitute a war crime. The UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk told a meeting of the Security Council he was appalled by the attacks, which have been blamed on Israel. The Israeli envoy at the UN didn't comment on the operation. The US Secret Service has published an interim report of what it said were security failures surrounding the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania in July. The review identified poor planning and a communication breakdown in the minutes before the attack, which killed an audience member. The agency's acting director, Ronald Rowe, had this to say.
After reviewing the planning, event details, and coordination with partner agencies regarding the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump on July 13th, our mission assurance review is nearing its completion. As I've said, this was a failure on the part of the United States Secret Service. It's important that we use the lessons learned to make sure that we do not have another failure like this again.
Sir Keir Starmer travels to Liverpool today to attend Labour's first conference in government for 15 years. Some of the union movement are pushing for a motion to be debated which would call for cuts to winter fuel payments to be reversed. A court in Washington has convicted one of Mexico's most notorious cartel leaders of drug trafficking and firearms offences. Ruben Osigueira González, known as El Menchito, was one of the leaders of the Jalisco New Generation.